Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. We're your hosts, Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. And today we're going to talk about email marketing for bloggers. And I'm really excited about this one because I feel like I've watched Bobby's email marketing journey. And I'm a little pissed off about it. I'm not going to lie. We're going to go ahead. We're going to air some beef right here. On the radio or whatever it is.
Because,
well, do you ever, like, growing up, you just have that friend that's just, like, really good at shit? It's just, like, you do something and then they just have, like, never done it and they just, like, are freaking baller. Like, Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about this whole email marketing thing. I'm like, you know, this is something that I do pretty all right. You know, Chris has told me before. He's like, man, you could do this. You could be a copywriter. You could sell your services as a copywriter. And, you know, a year ago, Bobby's like, what's email copywriting? And now he's really freaking good at it. And it pisses me off because you're better at it than I am now. Like, I read your emails and it makes me feel insignificant.
That's just in your head. You're in your own head. It's one of those things. It's funny because it translates over, I feel like. Like, my blog writing style was never like what people are supposed to do for a blog, if that makes sense. Like, it's supposed to be like very well researched and just like very comprehensive and thorough. And I never liked writing that. I liked writing like the things that I felt or the things that I like, I don't know, more like personal stuff. And I've just realized that email works way, way better for that than a blog post does. So I just happen to be good at the email marketing thing, even better than I think I am at the blogging side of it sometimes. So just because it's like easy. It's just like writing and you can do ridiculous stuff. You can make jokes and you can, you pretty much just write. Like, I pretty much just write whatever, but you're not bad at email marketing. I mean, come on.
No, I don't think I'm bad. That's what I'm saying is I feel like I'm pretty good at it, but I feel like you have gone from like zero to really, really good at it. And no, it's good. I mean, I'm glad. It's just kind of funny because
it emails. Well, I'm sorry.
Shit, like I'll write a week of emails that I think are pretty good and then like you come back from vacation and you drop like three emails that are just freaking fire, like just great. So anyway, it's pretty funny. So today that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about email marketing for bloggers, why you should do it, what you should do. And I think this is a big deal just from my perspective because I feel like this is the one thing I've met so many bloggers this year through you. And I feel like this is the one thing that if they did what you've done in the last year, not with creating the products and everything, but just as you've taken with email marketing, they would make so much money, whether it's from affiliates or from their own products, or even just like building a better relationship with their readers and just having a better, more ecstatic audience, you know, that's sharing their stuff and helping them grow. Like, I feel like this is the low hanging fruit for 95% of the bloggers I've met.
Yeah, I think so. It's weird because I know I was like every other blogger, at least in the personal finance space. I always wonder if it's different for like people that are fitness bloggers. I feel like fitness bloggers are way more advanced on the copywriting game. It just seems like they all at least, maybe not the email marketing, but it seems like they have sales pages down or just sales copy down a little bit better, or they're hiring copy. You know, like
it depends. I would say, like, coming from that world, like, fitness bloggers tend to have a little bit more figured out in the marketing realm because they're not selling affiliate products. They're not earning their money through traffic in that way. They're selling their services. So generally you have to be able to, you know, you need to be able to craft an offer. You need to have a sales page, you know? So, but even with that, like, you know, there's still, That's probably definitely a more marketing savvy niche than others, but I would just say in general still.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just for me, like I remember it was like people kept saying you need to email your list or whatever, you know, or I actually, people didn't even say that. I just saw that the biggest personal finance bloggers were emailing their list, but it was like, it was a true like newsletter where it was just like, here's right. the blog post. You know, it was either like, here are the blog posts that I wrote this week, or here are the blog posts. Here's the blog post that went live today. And they give like a short snippet and then say, click here to read more. And so I did that for a long time and I didn't even really look at like open rates or any of that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, when we started working together, I decided to change the format and it's been really cool. But I think a lot of bloggers just don't do it because they don't know what to do. Because I feel like there's a lot of like easily accessible information out there. If like, here's how you write an entertaining email that's going to get opens and going to get clicks and going to build a relationship. Like, there's just not a lot about, I guess that's why we're doing this, but there's just not a lot of information out there about it, you know?
Or it doesn't seem like say it. There's information out there. You just have to leave your sphere of influence, right? Right. Yeah. Like if I wanted to learn a lot about SEO, I would need to leave my market.
Yeah. You
know? 'Cause my competitors, my peers don't really use SEO. They use paid traffic, right?
Right.
And only paid traffic, or they use social media, right? That's really what they're doing. And with email marketing, like, you know, like for you, like there's got to be some, you know, personal finance bloggers out there that are using email effectively. I don't know. Like, but the ones that I know and a lot of bloggers across niches that I know aren't. And I just don't think, you know, even when we were at FinCon last year, and we would see, you know, there were things like about email marketing. And I was like, oh, wow, this information is so like, there's so much more that you know, that goes into it. And I was like, I don't exactly agree with some of the email marketing stuff there.
Right.
I'm not like trying to take a shot or anything. It was just like, that's my world. And so like, I looked at it and was like, you know, that's, I don't agree with that advice, you know? Right. So I think you would have to go into a different circle. You would have to leave the blogging world or the personal finance world and go to internet marketing world, right? Mm-hmm. And you'd have to go join different Facebook groups or follow different people on social media, you know, to learn those things, go follow different, you know, email stuff. There are great email copywriters that write emails every day that you can learn from, you know?
Right.
And so I think you just got to go find the right people. It's one of those things you can fall into the trap of like just doing what everybody else is doing. Like you kind of have to break that mold and go see what other people in other areas are doing and then apply it to what you do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, what I noticed the most, like when I think of people that I've seen that do email marketing, they do it pretty well. I don't think immediately of a lot of people in the personal finance space, and that's not a knock. I just think that the personal finance blogging world is just like a little bit behind on it. I think they're kind of catching up just like I did. So yeah, there are some people that come to mind for me that are really good email marketers. John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire. I like his emails a lot because they're definitely in his voice. Like he, you know, I don't know if he has a copywriter writing him or he's doing it, but it's definitely like him. 'Cause you know, he has that very like specific podcasting mm-hmm. voice that I feel like you just know it's him. And I feel like that translates over to his emails. And then there's Melissa Griffin who makes a ton of money and does a ton of course sales and just mm-hmm. does all of things really well. And she does a really good job too. The difference I see between people like them, which I would call more like hardcore internet marketers, and the people in the personal finance space is the personal finance people are either just sending out a newsletter or mm-hmm. they're worried that they're going to annoy their list, which is the big mm-hmm. one. I hear that all the time. Like, oh, I don't want to email too often. Yeah. Well, I'll get back to that in a second.
We'll come back.
The other part is the people that aren't afraid to email their list typically are doing like way too many call to actions in their emails. And so it's like, it's either they do a newsletter, they don't want to email at all, or when they do send an email,
they link them to four different things.
Right. 'Cause they're like,
hey, I've got this free challenge and I've got this product and I've got this new blog post and, you know, I did this podcast interview and it's like all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there probably are personal finance bloggers. I feel bad because it's not like I'm saying like everybody sucks at it. There are probably people that are crushing it with email marketing. I just, when I think about the people in my industry, I'm like, I don't know. I can't think of who the names are, but that could just be me.
Well, let me clarify that too, because like this isn't us like criticizing, saying like everybody sucks at it. It's just that like it is, you compare, like this is a perfect example. You and I talk about this kind of stuff all the time, right? You look at let's just say blogger world and internet marketing world, like blogger mm-hmm. world, marketing world, right? In blogger world, there's a lot of use of like SEO, of Pinterest, some paid traffic, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. if I really wanted to see how to use Pinterest or SEO to grow traffic, I go to blogger world.
Yeah.
If I want to find out how to use paid traffic, email marketing, like that kind of stuff, go to marketer world, right? Yep. And marketer world does not know how to use SEO. Yeah. They don't do well with organic platforms outside of like Facebook and Twitter.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, and then if you go, you know, with blogging world, it's just like, there's just different focuses, you know? And yeah. so, and that's been one of the things that's what's worked so well for us is like, you're really good at things that I didn't know a lot about, right? Yeah. And I'm really good at things that you didn't know about. And we've combined those and we want more bloggers to combine those.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I want to name a couple of email marketers I would have people go check out, just, you know, because you named some people that are, I guess, bloggers that do pretty well with yeah. email marketing. I would recommend, if you can find anything by Matt Fury, F-U-R-E-Y. Matt Fury, I remember Chris, our copywriter, you should definitely follow his stuff too, theemailcopywriter.com. Chris gave me a newsletter from Matt Fury. And remember, I gave you that newsletter. It was like, I don't know, 20 pages. That changed everything for me. Like yeah. one newsletter. I just started applying that and immediately started making money with email. And yeah. so anything you can get your hands on from Matt Fury is really good. Dean Jackson is just phenomenal. Yeah. Like get on his email. Like his emails, he's one of the great copywriters that's alive right now. One of the great marketers is what I meant to say. And if you just get on his email list, you're going to learn so much like about business in general. And it's a must read. And he's really good at email. And the very first email that he does after you download one of his lead magnets is a conversation starting email. And I just had our buddy Ben Pog message, hey, I redid his first email and put it after my lead magnet. And he goes, I'm getting so many responses. It's crazy. Like I'm getting too many people responding to my emails and starting conversations. But for him, where he's trying to start conversations and get people on the phone, sell his services, that's perfect. Right. But so yeah. Matt Fury, Dean Jackson, go follow Chris. You follow those people. And I don't even know if Matt Fury does a whole lot of emails anymore, but if you can find any of his materials online, those are great people to learn from. So I just wanted to throw some names out there because people are probably going to be like, okay, who should I follow? Who should I learn from? But what I really want to do is get to the meat of it and just, you know, from your perspective now, having totally changed what you do in the last year, mm-hmm. you know, the big question in this episode is, okay, cool. I'm a blogger. I'm going to start email marketing. We already talked about why you should do it a little bit. What should you do? What do you consider to be best practices? What do people need to do?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's honestly, I really just send out an email every time there's a blog post that goes out. So right now I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't do it every time. And that's the cool thing about email marketing. Like you can email every day or you can email a couple times a week. If you miss a day, that's fine. Like it doesn't have to be like super, super strict on the timeline. But right now I roughly email when every blog post goes out and it's really pretty simple. Like the goal is obviously to get people to the blog post, but instead of just saying like, here's the blog post, here's what it's about, go here, or here's today's topic, here's the first paragraph, read more. What I do is I follow a pretty simple formula of I tell a story. And like, I think of like the blog post is the target, right? Like I'm trying to get people to the target. So I think, okay, how can I get them there? And so I come up with a story that's like usually just something that's happened to me in life recently that's related to that specific topic. So if it's like budgeting or whatever, you know, I'll pick something where, you know, if Coral and I were recently going over the budget, and we saw that like she was buying too many shoes or something like that. I'm just totally kidding. But like if she was doing something like that, and it, like, so I'll tell a story about how we had like an argument about it. And then I go from the story to lesson. So try to tell, you know, the lesson of this story is blah, blah, blah. And then I'll transition into the call to action to get them to the blog post to learn more about it. Or I'll do story, then I'll address like some kind of big pain point. And then the thing to solve that pain point is the blog post call to action. So it's usually, I'll do either one of those kind of two formats and it's pretty simple. Like it's pretty easy. They don't have to, I don't even know how many words my emails are, but they're not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not long. It's about email marketing too. Like the shorter and more to the point you can keep it, the better. You know, you don't have to go on and on and on about things like the goal is like get people interested, tell the story, whatever the lesson is or the pain point that you want to address, call to action. Like it's that simple. So I think, you know, I think everybody needs to start doing that. And what you'll notice is that your email list will respond to your emails. If you, you know, if you have like a PS and you ask them a question or something like that, you'll start getting a lot more people responding. Or if you send a funny email out, people will tell you that they enjoy it. And that makes it a lot easier when it comes time to sell. So, right. Because you're building a relationship, you're building trust. It's like anything else in life. Like if some dude came to my front door and wanted to sell me like life insurance or something, I'm not going to buy it from him because I'm like, who the hell are you? But if it's like, you know, somebody that I've been, that's been sending me emails for a long time and I'm like, I enjoy their emails and it's funny and they are informative and they make my day better. When they want to sell something to me, I'm going to be more likely to trust them and go buy something from them because they've provided value or they've built that relationship with me. So it's the same thing with your readers and in your email list. So that's why, you know, we're able to do multiple launches of multiple courses throughout the year. And we don't get complaints about how many times we email and, you know, it might be 1 to 2 people send me like a nasty email, like every time we do a launch, but that's even rare now. It doesn't happen very often. And I've had people that they've told me like, hey, you launch a lot of products and I'm not necessarily interested in the product launches, but I love your email so much that I stay on the list anyway. You know, so it like, you know, if you
they're
provide
just like waiting, they're just like waiting. Okay. Until he gets back to normal. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, okay, I'll wait until he gets done with these emails and they get back to normal. And there's nothing wrong with that. Cause like your entire audience is going to want to buy, you know, there, some people want to buy different products from you, whether it's an affiliate product or whatever. So it's not always a good fit. But if you can provide the email, the value through the email, you're at least going to keep them on your list for longer and build a relationship with them. So when the right product does come to their inbox, they go, ooh, that's the thing I want. And they buy it.
And I think this goes back to something you're talking about earlier about like people, they don't want to like upset their list, right? And if you're concerned that your emails are upsetting your list, then you need to write better emails, like straight up. That's a good sign that your emails aren't good because they're upsetting people. You know, people don't mind being sold to, and people don't mind getting emails. And so what you got to think about is like, think of your emails. It's standalone piece of content. Okay. So you're a blogger. You're on the other end of the airwaves listening to us talk, and you're writing your blog posts and you're really proud of them and you're putting them out in the world. You're not afraid to put your blog post in front of everybody and to share it on Twitter and Pinterest and your Facebook page and your Facebook posts and Facebook groups. And just like you write that blog post and you tell everyone about it. Like you're showing people at the coffee shop, right? Like, you know, you're not afraid to do that. You need to get to where you feel the same way about your emails, because if you're writing a good email, you shouldn't be ashamed to give it to people or worried about giving it to people because it's useful. And the utility of an email is twofold. It is to entertain and it is to move them to something else, right? And so if you're telling stories and you're being entertaining and you're moving people to your blog post, which is useful content, then you're meeting the utility of that email and people are going to like it, right? And the biggest thing, I've never met somebody that didn't start focusing on email marketing, that didn't start having people responding that they love their emails. Yeah. You know, getting emails like, oh, I ignore, delete, or unsubscribe everything in my inbox, but I always look forward to yours. And the way you stand out and do that is by not sending a boring newsletter, by not only selling, by inconsistently emailing, right? Like that doesn't work. Or it's by telling a story and doing something different. If you're not always selling or you're not always just sending a dry message or newsletter, but instead you're sharing funny stories and things, you're going to be successful. And like, I'll give a couple examples from just like the last week or so. So you sent one for Millennial Money Man earlier this week, and you were trying to send them to a blog post about fraud detection or something like that. I can't remember exactly. It was about fraud, credit card fraud.
Credit card fraud.
And so the email was like about buying all these. So humble. It was good. Yes.
That was one where I wrote it and I got to the end and I looked at the email. I was like, okay, this is pretty good. Like this is good.
It was good enough that like I met with one of my clients for a beer, not knowing that he knew anything about you. And he's like, man, Bobby's emails this week have been good. And I was like, No, so he sends us one about like how he bought, I don't know, like $5,000 worth of Ed Sheeran tickets or something like that. And I read the headline and I fell for it, right? Like the headline was so good. I was like, why the hell Bobby wouldn't buy Ed Sheeran tickets? Like I was like, I gotta, you know, if he would have said that like I bought tickets to go see Drake, you know, for all of my friends, like I would have seen that. But and so then I read it and it's about how like somebody bought all these tickets in Asia and it was freaking funny. And then it was an easy transition. It was like, you know, and like, what's your credit card fraud horror story and all this? And they like transition. It was beautiful. Yeah. And so he told this funny story about somebody buying stuff, like trying to steal his identity and buying all these tickets, which was funny. Like not funny for you, but it was funny for us. And then transitioned into an article about credit card fraud and how to protect yourself. And like, that's how you do it. You know, you did one the other day for Laptop Empires where I did the solo podcast episode about kind of like how I manage my day and everything with kids. And Bobby wrote this ridiculous email about my kids not being real and how, even though he's met them and he's held, you know, the baby, you know, they're not real because I shouldn't be able to be that productive with kids running around. And it was freaking funny. Like, I mean, it was just, like that one my client didn't see and I showed it to him on my phone and he was literally laughing out loud at the bar. Like he just thought it was so funny. So I mean like, but that's a good example of how to do it. So you just, it's really that simple. Story then that's related to and can transition to sending them to your blog post. And that's it. Yeah. You just say, hey, go here if you know, to find out more about this. And here's the deal. Some people are going to click. Most of them aren't, but they're going to remember that email. They're going to like you more. They're going to get to know you and they're going to trust you. This is important, right? Like I think a lot of people focus on the like thing, right? They want people to like them and they're real concerned about that, but their emails are not building the know and the trust. Yeah. The way you write emails telling stories and sharing personal experiences, they're getting to know you as a person. They're getting to know your personality.
Right.
They're also learning to trust you because not only are you sharing content with them through your blog that they is good information, but they're trusting you because you're being so open with them. You're being so honest with them about your life, right? Like your last one was about Asana and you were like, I don't know how I'm a successful entrepreneur because I'm not organized. I have bird brain and I can't stay focused. And you're like, but I use this software and it helps me stay focused. People can relate to that. And it makes you stand out from other people that are like, you know, I'm the best that there ever was, blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, I'm accidentally successful sometimes. Like I'm super unorganized and people are like, oh, okay. He could have told us that he was a productivity machine and we would have believed him. Like, so you're building trust. So it's like that know, like, and trust is so important no matter what you want to do with your audience. So this is big. I feel like, I hope people take this and are like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try.
Well, I'm going to share some other little tricks. If you read my emails or Mike, you do this too. There are a lot of times where I make fun of myself in the emails, like just like I did in that bird brain email, because I feel like in the internet marketing world, there are so many people that are like, just take like, oh, I'm the best and I'm this. It's like, there's this bravado and it's just like it's way over the top. I feel like a lot of time. And I'm just like, okay, well, how can you stand out from that? And it's just to be more likable and people like it when you are self-deprecating pretty much. I mean, like anytime that you can find a little way to make fun of yourself or something stupid that you do, that makes you a relatable human being because you make mistakes and you're not perfect. So that's one thing. And then just the other part is like, write emails in your voice. And I see this all the time. And this is a hard concept. And it's the same thing that we tell people for blog posts. You know, if you're writing blog posts, write it in your voice. But, you know, there were like Coral's been working on her email marketing for her YouTube channel. And she's actually like, she's starting to get it down pretty well. But the first couple ones that she did, because she had never sent emails before, it was like very proper and it was very polished. And it was like, there were phrases in there that she doesn't say in real life. And like, I remember reading a couple out loud and I was like, Coral, you don't say that. Like, I've never heard you say that. We've been together for like 10 plus years and I have never heard you say anything like that. And she was like, oh yeah, you're right. And then as soon as like she got that little critique, she started just trying to write, like she thought about like, what do I actually say? And then she just wrote that. And the emails come out like so much better, you know?
And an easy way to do that, say it out loud.
Yeah.
Than what you said. And so one of the things like you'll notice like in my emails, I always say y'all.
Yeah.
Because I say y'all and y'all jumps off the page.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you were reading an email from Bobby and I and we didn't sign it, a surefire way to tell it was me instead of Bobby is that it says y'all in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. that was for me strategic. When I first started writing, I was like, I'm going to do this because it stands out. People can pick it out. Like, it's an obvious way to show your voice. Another thing is that I tend to talk, I just did it, very choppy. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll say something, or like I just said, right. You know, so I will do pauses. I will do one word sentences. I will draw things out. And so I type with a lot of a question, starting with a but or an and, ending with the little dot, dot, dots, whatever that's called, you know, choppy sentence. Or a lot of times I'll do something where I'll do like four sentences in a row that are real short, that are real similar, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I talk though, you know? And so I just, you want to put that across. And so it's just a matter of like, it feels hard, but it doesn't have to. Just, we had somebody email us about typos in our emails. And actually it was a beautiful pitch, right?
It was.
So she like wrote this and was like, oh, I love your content. Your typos drive me crazy. I can provide editing services. And I was like, okay, one, I don't care about the typos. So sorry, but thank you. And like that was a great pitch. I just want to give you mad respect for the pitch. But you know, one of the reasons that we have typos is because we sit down, we bang out the email and we send it.
Yeah.
Right. You don't think about it too much. And that's one way to maintain the voice is set a timer and just do it. 10 minutes on the clock, go and write the first thing that comes to mind. If you start trying to over edit it, then it's going to start to feel stuffy.
Yeah. Yeah. That Ed Sheeran concert ticket one, that like a lot of people like that email. It had a massive typo at the very end of it. I said like overseas concert, overseas tickets or something like that. Like, you know, something that sounded really stupid, but nobody even noticed that. And if they did, who cares?
I told you the other day, I like left a very important word out of, I was like, man, I had a great joke in that email and I just forgot.
It happens. I think the biggest thing, like, you know, start just jump on our email list for Laptop Empires, or jump on my list, or jump on both, follow the people that we've talked about, and then start trying to do your own versions of those emails. And the reason I think it's so important is that, especially for personal finance bloggers in MySpace tend to have big lists because they have a lot of traffic, and you can make, like, I legitimately believe you can make with 10,000 people on your email list, $100,000 in a weekend. If you have a course launch,
100%.
Because we did that. I wrote crappy emails for years and I had 13,000 people on my list when we launched Facebook Side Hustle, and they had actually had no relationship with my readers through the email. It was all through my blog posts and stuff, but we did $130,000 or whatever. And it's not to brag about that. It's just like the possibilities. And this is why it drives me nuts when I see people that have like 100,000 people on their list and they don't do what I would consider to be really effective email marketing. It's like, if you did, you know, you might already, if you have 100,000 people on your list, you're making a lot of money already anyway, but you could make twice as much, because we've made a lot of money over the course of the last 13, 14 months through email marketing, like a lot of money. And that's something that every blogger can do.
If you are a baby blogger or a small blogger, you know, I'm just like getting started on YouTube, and like the pro YouTubers call it small tube or small YouTube.
Oh.
So they're like, if you're a small, they'll always say like, if you're a small YouTuber, like if you're just starting out. So if you're a small blogger, like, email marketing is your ticket to making more money than you should earlier than you should, because you can make big money with a tiny list, right? Yeah. It's not, size does not matter when it comes to email marketing, right? Totally. Now, a bigger list, you can make more money. That's true. But you can really monetize a small list. And a perfect example of this, one of our students, Amy, just took Chris's copy course. And she was creating a new blog. She'd had this blog for a few years, but she'd really like not messed with it too much. It had a smaller list. Chris had a challenge inside of his course to send a certain type of email, showed him how to write it to go do it. She sent it out to her list, small list, made thousands of dollars in one day from one email. Yeah. And then was like, oh crap, I thought that there was no future with this blog. Like, I thought it was way too niche. And now she's realized it being so niched is a competitive advantage for her. And now that she's learned about copywriting, she's like, I can continue to grow it, can be the big fish in a little pond and write great emails and make great money. Right. Yeah. So if you're a small blogger, this might be one of the more important, you know, podcasts to listen to, at least from us.
Yeah. Dude, there is a reason why fairly large companies hire our friend Chris, the copywriter, to write emails. Like he writes email sequences for pretty big companies and they make a ton of money based on that. Yeah. Like there's a reason. So you should implement
like
it in your
$1 million and over 24 hours. I remember the first time he did that, I remember him calling me all excited and now he's done it many times.
I'd be excited too. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it. You got any final words?
No, just don't be afraid to email your list. I think what you said, Matt, was perfect. If you are worried about emailing your list, then you need to write better emails. And it's like, that's not to be mean. It's just the truth. Like I needed to do it too. And once I did it, I made a lot more money. So you should do that. If you're a blogger, freelancer, whatever, start writing good emails.
Yeah. And then, you know, we talked about this last night and I forgot about it. When this episode goes live, Bobby did an email copywriting training inside of our course. And it's like, actually wrote an email live, like right in front of them. You're teaching them and you banged it out. And so we're going to make that available to y'all. Y'all can download it. So it'll be in the show notes. So grab that because it's really cool. And I know everybody, I wasn't there for that training. I was gone for whatever reason, but I know everybody loved it and like talked about it for weeks. So go ahead and download that. You can learn a little bit about it. It'll be a good primer. And then you can watch Bobby's process as he wrote an email, and it ended up being a very effective email too. So, all right, that's it for today. We'll see you next episode later. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.